It is so good to be here to worship together with all of you. And a big thank you to our worship team, and thank you to our brothers, we can't lead us in pastoral prayer. And for who of you, some of you who first time visiting us, and also for those who are joining us first time from the live streaming, we are preaching through the book of Romans. And this morning, we are at the final chapter of the book of Romans. Yay! Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 27. The sermon title for this morning is God of Love, the Personal God. I'll be using the NIV. Please have your Bible ready. I would like to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 16. As I preach through it, please refer to your Bible. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As Apostle Paul instructs us, and as he concludes the book of Romans, with personal greetings and love, so Lord, we pray that you now help us to learn the valuable lesson from this chapter. Lord, this is your word. It meant not only for the Church of Rome, but it is also for us today. Oh Lord, may your Holy Spirit open our eyes so that we may behold the truth from your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Yeah. As we come to the final chapter, all the theologies and doctrine has clearly imparted by the Apostle Paul on the 15 previous chapters. Now, the Holy Spirit through Paul is giving us the most important wrap-up. How do we live as a body of Christ, individually and corporately? As we can see, many churches today, if I may say, form their own identity inappropriately as a local body of believers. A church should always hold open its arm to welcome any who wish to learn about Christ, but it should never exchange its identity for a seeker-friendly persona. A church should always focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, but no church should shun the complete theologies in order to emerge or for in the name to expand and to share the gospel. Charles Spurgeon once preached, and I quote, that very church which the world liked best is sure to be that which God despised. Furthermore, a church should be organized and would be wise to apply the best tools of management and to employ the latest technologies. But the local church must never become an efficient corporation with a cross stuck on the roof. The first words that come to mind must not be efficient, driven, focused, or even excellent. A church is supposed to be like a family of love, in which the older people train and encourage the younger, where everyone is accountable to God, everyone is accountable to one another, and find security, acceptance, hope, help with one another. The church must be a place where words is from the truth of God. Worship is reverence to God. Faith is visible in our walk. Grace is noticeable in our living. And love is tangible among God's people. That is the church of God. And that is the church that is pleasing to God. The church must be a warm, welcoming body, not a well-oiled slick machine. meaning not a place that produces good performance to impress people. We can see clearly from the book of Romans, Paul, with his strong intellect and theological acumen, was point sinner to God, was to help believers to continue to grow in Christ. He was also deeply concerned about people and their spiritual life. He was not there to impress people, nor make himself look good, or gain others to give him high regards due to his knowledge, intellect, or his apostlehood. It is all about genuine love poured out to care and love the people of God. Paul considered love crucial because he valued people above all else, and he understand the commandments of God is all about loving God and loving others. And Paul in Romans 16 shows us the importance of laboring in love for God's people and God's kingdom work. And he also warns us to look out for those who cause division and put obstacle in our walk with God. Now, first there was Phoebe, Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 2. Paul said, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any helps he may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. The word deacon is sometimes translated as servant in the New Testament. And for that reason, some Bible scholars think this refers to a special office in the church, the office of deaconess. Other scholars insist that it is simply meant Phoebe faithfully served the community of believers in various ways in the local church. Whichever you prefer, one thing is certain. Phoebe gave of herself sacrificially in serving the Lord. How did Phoebe help others? How did she show her love? Well, you see, in Cenchrea, where she lived, was a suburb of Corinth. It was a port suburb. It was where the ship docked. There were a lot of people who came through her town, many of them fellow believers. What they usually need was a friendly face and a place to stay until their ship was scheduled to sail. And Phoebe's home was always available. She demonstrated the love of Christ by being hospitable and ministering to those people who had that need. She was also a wealthy businesswoman who was visiting Rome in conjunction with her business. And most scholars believe it was her who carried this letter from Paul to the church in Rome. Her business undoubtedly kept her busy, but she was never too busy to serve the Lord. Have you experienced that when you travel to a new environment, a new place where you don't know anyone, but there is a fellow believer in Christ come and host you, feed you, serve you, take care of you? How great is that? How lovely is that? And even help you whenever whatever need arises from you. Okay? So that is a wonderful thing to do. So, brother and sister, this is the first point that Paul pointed out. We are the people of God, and we are to love one another. Be hospitable to one another and host one another and take care of one another. Then there were Priscilla and Aquila from Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. My co-worker in Christ Jesus, Paul called them. They risked their life for me, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentile are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. From here, we can see that this Priscilla and Aquila, Paul called them the co-workers in Christ Jesus. We know from the book of Acts, Paul was were a tent maker together with them. He first met them in Corinth after they had been forced to flee Rome under a law issued by Emperor Claudius, expelling all the Jews at that time. And Paul lived in their house while he ministered in Corinth. Now, they were back in Rome now, but the important thing is that they had labored together with Paul in the work of the gospel, and they endangered their own life for Paul. And not only Paul, but all the churches in Gentile are grateful for them. Why? Why is that? Why all the churches in Gentile are grateful for them? We can know that most likely because of their labor together with Paul for the gospel of God. And now in Rome, they opened their home for believers together. A few simple sentences here from Paul. We can see the love of Priscilla and Aquila for God's people and his kingdom work, and their faithfulness in serving God. This is a good example. In the time, we need to partner with the minister of the gospel who labor in the work of the gospel. We must partner with them together to advance the gospel to many people. We must even come to the point, if needed, to risk our life for the advancement of the gospel. When I was in South Korea, I have heard so many testimonies and churches. They support and they partner and they join hands together with the missionary who reached out to North Korea. And many of them were persecuted, some of them were killed. But the church never stopped, continuously sending people, sending money, sending help to the minister who was willing to go into North Korea to advance the gospel of God. We in this country might experience something similar like this. And what would we do at that time? If we are called to partner with some of the minister of the gospel, would we be boldly, sacrificially to partner with them? Look on down through the chapter. In the verse 6, there is Mary who worked very hard for you. In verse 12, there is Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis who work hard and work very hard in the Lord. Paul must have had a smile on his face when he mentioned their names, they who work hard. These people put a priority on their Christian service. I thank God for Pantai Baptist Church. And I have a list with many of your names who work hard for the Lord, who sacrifice for the Lord. And I praise God for you every day, and I thank God for you every day. And you definitely can be sure you are in my weekly prayer for you. And I praise God. The number is great. It's a lot of you. I thank God for that. In Romans 16, verse 7, greet Andronicus and Unia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. It is not clear whether Unia is a man or a woman, but if a woman, then these two are probably husband and wife. They both suffer in prison together with Paul for their faith in Christ, and the laborer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one more Christian on this list who apparently suffered for his faith too. In verse 10, greet Apollos, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Apollos being tested and approved would be implied that he was subjected to difficult circumstances, possibly persecution or imprisonment, but had passed the test and remained true to Christ through it all. You see, Paul gives us a list of examples for us to look at. How to live our life as a church, as a believer, with one another, and how to partner with others to serve and to labor together for the work of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And always, always serve with love, work together, hand in hand, suffer together, even to the point to risk our life and to be in prison. You know, there is so much to in today, common our day here today. We are so caught up with the list of the things. We are giving so much excuses because we have so much to do in our day. There are so many things fighting for our time and attention. Works, hobbies, sport, entertainments, travel. And it is easy to get so wrapped up in them and there is no time left to serve God and to serve Christ with Christ's love to others. Let's talk about imprisonment or sacrifice your life. So today, brother and sister, let us take a look at ourselves. Are you too busy to serve others in love? Are you too busy to labor for the gospel of God? The next season, the next few months, and next year, we will launch a program. A program that hopefully will caught on by every one of us. We would like to see our church will build in the DNA to evangelize, to share the gospel, to live for God, to labor for the gospel. And let that be the DNA for every Pantai Baptist Church member. So today, let us think about it. Am I too busy? Why am I so busy? You see, we are finally come to the end of the book of Romans now. You have studied through 15 chapters. All the doctrine, the theologies has given to you. And we see 7 months has passed by just like that. Time is moving so fast in the blink of an eye. 7 months is gone. Now we are at the end of the month of July. So many things have happened before us. Our brother, we can just share. Just the past 2 weeks, we sent away a few of our brothers back home to the Lord. But now, as you know this, my big question to you is that, how is your journey with God today? Where are you today in your Christian race? Do you have story to tell, like the people being greeted by the Apostle Paul? If you had been a member of the Church of Rome, would Paul have included your name on this list as loving and serving saint? Do you think your name will be on the list of saints who will be rewarded the crown of righteousness before the judgment seat of Christ? Should you take some time to plan for that day? I think so. And I let you answer this question to God yourself. You see, from this chapter, other than Paul showed us the example of the believer, of the faithful believer. And Paul also showed us the love of Christ saturated in this whole chapter. We can see how Paul greeted each person by name. Paul greets them to assure them that neither time nor distance has diminished his love for them. And he did this to assure the church in Rome that his interest in them was personal and his love for them are genuine. As a pastor, as a leader, as an elder, in our meeting, we have names fly through our meeting. All of your name, all of your story, your family. How are you doing? We talk about it. We pray for you because we're concerned of your life, of your walk with Christ. Your name is always in our prayer, and your name is always our biggest concern. Because the leaders of this church love every one of you, every one of you who attend here. And for those who still do not know you, please come and talk to us and meet up with us, and we love to get to know you more and add you into our list to pray for you and to care for you. So now, in verse 21 to 24, Paul also names the saints that were with him to extend their greeting to the church of Rome, so that the church would also know the saints together with Paul. See, indeed, we who are in Christ are one big family. The church of with people in the church of Rome and the people with Paul in Corinth, they are greeting one another. They are family. And the pinnacle of that love is in verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That is not a romantic kiss on the lips, but the familiar cheek-to-cheek embrace by which people greet each other warmly in that culture. What Paul is saying is simple. Embrace one another, love one another, reach out to one another with warmth and friendliness. Minister to one another and care for one another. If I may, I would like to challenge all of us here this morning. Every Sunday you come to church, don't just sit at your specific seated area. I know we are a creature of habit. We like to sit at the same spot. But look around you. These are all your brother and sister in Christ. You know, we're going to spend eternally together, get to know one another, other than a few friends that you know or a few in your CG or care group. And some of you did not join any care group and just come to worship and go home. Get up, look around you, get to know the people around you. I want to challenge you, each week you come to church on Sunday, make two friends. Get to know two brother and sister around you. Or if you can, do more. Get to know five of them. And you see what happened after a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. When you come to church, no longer you feel alone. When you come to church, you feel the family. Everyone there, you know them by name. You know their story. Let us do that. Can we do that? Amen? I didn't hear you. Thank you. It is easy to seek out our friend, you see. Sometimes greet them warmly and enjoy their company, but ignore everyone else. We might not do it on purpose, without even meaning to do it, but very often, naturally, we form little cliques that shut out others. These saints in Rome were loving people, but even there, need to be encouraged to reach out to one another with greater love. So am I here to encourage you to do the same. And we should always remember from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and know God." It is so crucial to the body of Christ to always remember this. Now, let us look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. Paul cannot leave this letter with only greeting to his fellow Christian. One can feel that as he goes through these names for whom he has genuine affection, and that he feels compelled to offer one final warning for the Church of Rome and to all of us. You see, Paul said, "I urge you, brother and sister, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetite, by smooth talk and flattery that deceive the mind of naive people." It is a very interesting transition from love one another to keep away from certain people or do not have anything to do with them. Right? Basically, Paul said to the church, and this is rightfully so, Paul should say that so that the church will not be destroyed. So Paul said, watch out for those who cause division and create obstacle in the midst of you. We are called to be alert for those who cause disunity in the church, who would cause division in the church because of their self-serving heart and because they're misleading the people of God and because they're rebellious toward the word of God, that disobey God. That's why they are self-serving. They plot evil plan to cause the church to divide, to cause the church in chaos. So we must watch out to those people. And Paul warned us that. You see, these people, they would also cause others to stumble by misguiding them with false teaching. And therefore, Christians must be on the outlook for those who cause division through false teaching as well. There are people who are obviously living in rebellion to the words of God. They do not serve Jesus, but serve their own appetite. They are not interested in living their life for Christ. They are selfish and only want their desire to be fulfilled. That's why when they read the Word of God, they did not understand it correctly. Because when they read the Word of God, they just want the Word of God to support their selfish desire. That is very dangerous. When someone teaches you truth with their own thinking and own desire and having the Word of God to support what they say, those are the very dangerous teaching. You must watch out for those people. You see? And furthermore, they use flattery words and they are smooth with their words to deceive people's heart. Paul is clear as to what must be done with such people. Keep away from them. Avoid them. Do not deal with them. Keep away from them completely because their pursuit is not Jesus, but their own selfish desire. Continue in verse 19 to 20. "Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Here, Paul is wanting to make it clear that he is not telling the church of Rome to be on the lookout because they have messed up. He is not telling them to be on the lookout because he sees them failing. So am I. I'm not telling you that our church, there is such troublemaker. I'm telling you, just like how Paul tells the church of Rome, look out for these people, be warned. So Paul is saying, look, I have already heard the report of your obedience. You are doing wonderfully. You are growing in grace. In fact, he said in verse 19, I rejoicing in you. But please, on the lookout so that you won't fall into a trap. This is the call to every Christian, a call for spiritual and biblical discernment. We need to know the truth. We need to know the difference between the truth and the false teaching. And we need to live and serve with pure heart and clean hand. I thank God for our church. We have many of you who take the word of God so seriously, very seriously. And you take the time to study, to make discernment in every decision being made for our church. And every preacher preach from this pulpit. I receive all sort of feedback, and I thank you for that. So make sure our preacher is really preach the truth, the whole truth, and the whole counsel of God to all of the people. Our leaders did a very good job and make sure our congregation, our member, and all of you being protected, and all of you will live according to the truth of God. We praise God for that. Amen? Okay, last of all, we come to verse 25 to 27. Paul gives glory to the one who is able to establish us. This is so important. Paul is saying here, all those in this life, we have to go through many things. We have to serve God. We have to labor for the gospel. We will suffer. We will risk to be persecuted. But he said, don't worry. The returning of Christ will be soon. And he crushed Satan under your feet. And the grace of God will be always with you. Let us know that. Whatever suffering you are going through because you are laboring with one another, you face a lot of difficult situations. God is always with you. Especially this season, I want to speak to our church. You know, we're going to have a lot of program coming up to build each one of us up. We are going to have this church camp coming up next week. We're going to have a lot of new ministry work coming in to have all of you to join together to serve. But at a time when we work together, there will be some different opinion. There will be things that you don't like to see because each one of us are different. There will be someone who shows certain character that you don't like. Brother and sister, keep in mind, let us accept one another, accept our differences. Work with patience. Work with perseverance, and know that the grace of God is always with us. Be patient with one another. We are a group of people who are so different, but we must accept the differences of one another. You cannot make everyone think like you, do things like you, have the same taste like you. We are all different. But this is what makes the Church of God great. We might not work excellently, but we can love excellently. Amen? So, Paul gives the glory to the one who is able to establish us. Do not miss that. It is a key word. The words mean to make firm, to make stable. This gives the picture of somebody who has it together, whose life isn't shaky and unstable like the three-legged chair, but one who is resting on a solid foundation. There is an inner security and confidence, a sense of significance and direction, and a life with peace and hope. These people have it together. Who are these people? These are the people who are established by God Himself. And what is it that brings this kind of stability to life? It is right there, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are the people who believe is already established by our Lord. You can feel the security, the stability, the hope in your life. And do not be anxious. Focus on God and knowing that God is with you. It is so important. Very often we say we know that God is with us in our mind. But do you feel the reality of that security in you? Very important. The Word of God promises us that He already established you. The gospel of Jesus Christ already established you. You are safe. You are in the safe place with God. And you are in His hand. And you are the apple of His eye. Read the Word of God and know all these promises is given to you. So we should be so secure in Him, and without, we won't shaky, and we won't shaken by this world, by the things that comes our way. How glorious is that? So now, this personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest truth of this doxology that we need to believe and appropriate to our daily living. It is a wonderful, wonderful grace of God that has given to us. Let us fully embrace that. Let us not miss out of it. If you already know Him, do not try to strive with your own strength anymore. Do not try to worry and have anxiety about the difficult challenge you're going through. Come before the Lord in prayer. Come and speak to your brother and sister in Christ who can pray together with you, who can assist you with your need, possibly, and who can help you, and who can also give you the wise advice as well. In this season, I thank God, for example, we have a group of sisters reach out to Pastor Isaac, to avail Pastor Isaac to minister to the doctor and nurses in Beacon Hospital. And there, this group of sisters will spend time with his wife, Rosie, every Tuesday, keep her company, so avail Pastor Isaac to do his ministry work. You see, speak to us if there's any need, we care for you. We can pray together with you if the thing that we cannot handle. If the thing that we can help, we will provide practical help to you as well. Because we are the family of God. This is not just a place that where you come in and just sit for Sunday. This is the place where you can call your family. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your greatness and for the greatness of your love and mercy. We thank you for your wonderful word, Lord. We know that Paul shown us the important part of your word. Love, unity, harmony, peace, and righteousness. This is a very critical part of the life of church. We are not a corporate church. We are not an efficient church. But we are a church of family to love one another. Father, we thank you for your reminder to all of us. We thank you for your word that speak to all of us as we're wrapping up the book of Romans. We pray that we would heed to Paul's teaching, and we pray that this would result in us loving you and loving one another as you have commanded us to obey. So help us, O Lord, to be the church that pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.